The following podcast contains scenes of graphic violence, abuse, torture, and haute couture-obsessed humans. Listener's discretion is advised. And I had such a productive day today. I am so much in love with myself and the day. And welcome to the 10th episode of In the Memory of the Goldfish, a podcast about all things terrible and which have basically nothing to do with fish, usually. I'm your half-celestial 11-souled host, Koi, and I love you so badly, truly, deeply, 100%. I love you. And like today's episode is like, I'm recording it almost at 3 a.m. and it fell together so well, kind of effortlessly. It's gonna be amazing. Like, I have such high hopes from it. I am internally screaming how amazing today's episode can be because, wow. And so the story with the 10th episode deals with Katerzyna Zovada and her murder, or popularly known as the Polish leather suit case. And I mean, it's a case basically for the fashion police. Like, who even thinks of wearing a leather suit? It's just so uncomfortable. And talking about like uncomfortable, horrendous and slimy, let's jump right on to the fishy news. So today's first fishy news, the headline says, FBI, in quotes, aware of American Airlines, in quotes, cylindrical objects sighting. Cylindrical objects, that's always very interesting. It even says that the FBI said that it was, in quotes, aware that the American Airlines pilots reported a close encounter with a long cylindrical object over New Mexico. So it's a long cylindrical object. I mean, I can almost be sure that it was very thick and very dark in color. I mean, it's just a flying dildo for all that we know, right? And I mean, if we further break down the news, it just basically means that the American Airlines are shaking long cylindrical objects, and we all need to be beware of the splash, as it can come in the form of rain and fertilize everything and everyone, because rain is fertility, according to some poem that I read once upon a time. If I'm to like dissect it even further, let's grab this news. This is much more interesting. So let's script change, the change of the script. And the next fishy news for you is life after death, end quotes, does exist, say, end quotes, says man after near-death experience. All right. Beep, boop, bop. Let me read this. Going blah. Okay. I mean, I love how it starts with a man. Like, it's written in capitals because they are very sure that, all right, it's a man who saw this, a man's reporting. So it can be a crap load of bullshit. So just beware. We are just like, I don't know, tugging off or like cleaning ourselves away with any claims or whatever this man says, because it's a man. I mean, what it basically says is that this guy, he went through like near-death experience and he was there in a flat black area where there was nothing but love. He felt love. And I mean, the pictures in the articles are very Christian. The name that they've decided to give him is John. So it's very Christian, and in my mind it kind of rings with the fact that normally people who practice any religion in specific very strongly, they tend to think that they are holier than anybody, and if they die, they obviously are gonna go to heaven. So their brain just like creates this sense of love around them. I'm not sure. So yeah, like, and if he's not Christian, that then I mean, it is still not life after death. I'm gonna like scrap the entire thing. I'll obviously put the link for it in the YouTube description. You can go and open the thing. It just does not really make a lot of sense to me, and I do not believe that guy. Like, I believe that he had saw things that he saw, but I do not think it's like life after death as such. Yeah, and I mean, for all that we know, it was not a black heaven. Maybe he has like commitment / relationship / love issues in his hell, his afterlife, because he's such an idiotic person. Is that he's put in a blank room where there's nothing but overflowing love and peace, and soon he'll go mad because who likes that much love? It's just clingy. Yeah, interesting. You know, talking about, as I told you, like the entire podcast fell together so well, the Out of the Blue today also deals with a funeral practice. Now, in this, we actually are going to dance with the dead, because that's what we do in the Famadina festival in Madagascar, which is basically a funeral tradition which emerged or like took roots in the 1820s. After the repatriation, soldiers and their remains were like buried far away. So, and moreover, with like the tomb transfers, and because the tombs at that era were started to be rebuilt with the stronger materials, which were made out of clean-fired bricks and such. So basically, this is a tradition which is kind of a grand family reunion, which happens roughly every 7 years or so. And there's this dog who's like barking and howling at the same time as usual, because it's 3 a.m. and who cares? Like, we just can howl and bark because that's what we do. Yeah, I love dogs, by the way. And cats. All, I love everything which is living and listening to my podcast. So please listen to it properly. Yeah. So this is basically like a family reunion which happens every 7 years or so as the part of the custom, and it spans 2 to 3 days from anywhere in the month of July to September. And it's the local astrologer who gives out the dates. This is something which is very common in the old religions and such, that they do not have specific dates according to the Georgian calendar. They have the same dates, but those same dates, they coincide with how the planets were initially, and they like try to whenever that thing is mimicked, that is the day you celebrate whatever you want to celebrate. So in this, the ceremony basically consists that the host, they call in neighbors, the locals, and basically everyone, they are invited, and they are given the dish called veripemenaka. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right, but if I did not, I'm really sorry. Which is basically a meal made out of rice and pork, sometimes even beef. The articles I read said that the planning for this starts about a year back, like all the relatives gather, they plan it out, like they make budgetings, they list out the invites and such, and they plan to dance with the ancestors, like, because dancing with the dead is a thing. So the first day, it's called Fidirana, it's called the entry day. And the second day is called Famonosana. Famonosana. Yes, I said that right. And it translates to the wrapping day. So usually when the guests arrive for the Famagana, the festive Famadina festival, they also give like rice and money to the organizers, ensuring that when they organize the event, their expenses are helped taken care of by the community itself. I mean, I like this because all the expenses are shared, the money and rice is collected, and it's shared to everyone again, and who has contributed to the expense. It's pretty cool, like, it makes it all economical. Marriages and people should learn from this. If you're going to somebody's marriage, you better would have pitched in like $100 for their ring, because that solitaire costed an arm and leg. So when like the guests come in, they have food, and once they've had the food, the host family prepares a trip to the tomb. It's like a celebration of life and parenthood. People wear their best outfits, somewhat like what people wear when they go to church on Sundays. They're followed by a horde of musicians, and when they reach the tomb, the bodies are removed and they're placed on reed mats. The host family wraps the body in new shrouds and places whatever they think the dead would have liked in those shrouds. Like, for example, it's cigarettes and alcohol for men. For women, they think like perfumes and lipsticks, and sweets for the nasty, over-demanding, devilish kids. Like, they want sweets even in death, and they're still not sweet. No offense to anybody. Then, like, they just put in, like, things they think the ancestor would have liked. And when they're freshly wrapped, the relatives pick them up and, like, the direct relatives basically pick them up and start to dance with their bodies and present them to the newcomers in the family, such as the newest son or the bride of the house, the newest bride and such. And voila, that's the festival. Like, the basic essence of the festival is that the new family members can meet their ancestors, and the memories are never really forgotten, and they can be revisited, because I'm French now, again and again, and shared but never forgotten. And moreover, it's like, since they're inviting everybody from the locality, friends and people, it's a very good place to network. Like, weddings are anything but networking. So this is like basically a wedding for the dead people, and then nobody's, it's just a thing. Okay, it's a festival. Festivals are for networking. Whew, okay, I think I spoke all of that pretty fast. Anyway, enough about people simply dying and celebrating their, like, death and whatever. I mean, the rest of the podcast, it's gonna have death. And it's gonna also have a lot of torture to top it off, because why not? So, today's story is called Bags, Leather, Skin. A title which is in no way inspired from the song by Toby. I forgot. Tony. Like, nails, hairs, hips, heels, ass, fat, big, lips. But yeah, it's la 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 la. It sounds like that. Oh my god, stop, Koi, you're making a fool out of yourself. But yeah, so that would be the story. Like, I read the title, Bags, Leather, Skin. Yep, May 17, 2009 is the date. Did not make sense, did not rhyme. But I'm not a singer, am I? So the date I've given to the story is 19th May 2009, and the time I've given is 19:02 hours. Now, this story I finished writing, I believe, the day before yesterday. Like, it's very recent because I've been lagging a lot. So I remember it, and I love the number of times I said fuck in the story. So let's start. Oh, fuck my life. I fucking sneaked it out. Mother is gonna obliterate. Is that a word? I've written it, so it must be. My mom is gonna obliterate my existence. Fuck you, Garb. Seriously. Fuck you and all of your idiotic, so pretty, pimpalous friends. There are gonna be so many made up words in this story. Like, pimpalous translates to people with a lot of pimples, in case you did not catch that. So you and your pretty, no pimpalous friends. Oh, did I say friends? I mean those weird hobgoblins of idiots that hang around you like flies on poop. You are poop, Carp. Hey lady, watch it. This guy screams at me. What the hell? It's not like I'm walking on the road. Oh no, wait, I just noticed I was. This has happened to me so many times. Like, I'm cycling and somebody starts to honk at me. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like on my side. I'm not even like on yours. And then I realize I'm like basically in the center of the road and I'm not like paying attention to anything that's about to happen around me, and I'm gonna die soon. Yeah. So she's walking on the road and she just noticed. And this man, he's almost bald, old geezer. His arms dangle out of his car as if he owns the atmosphere around him. He honks again, exclamation mark. Okay, calm thyself. I am moving. Also, I'm not a lady, I'm a girl. I scream back. I love how petty this story is. I scream back as I hurriedly cross the intersection. You know, I feel like kind of a segue that I'm reading this story in such high spirits that like I'm getting goosebumps thinking about the research that I did for the story, and I get goosebumps all the time, so it's not that big of a deal, but I am. So like enjoy my overactive fun self while it lasts, because after this it's gonna be screaming inside. Okay. She screams back at the man that she's not a lady, she's a girl, and she hurriedly crosses the intersection. I mean, so what if your lights are green? You could have let me pass, you know. These people have no respect for anybody but themselves. Ugh, what a typical teenager. I love it. I mean, look at me. I stole my mother's first date purse. Even she landed dad with this. And what did I land? A fucking dog. Who in their right mind doesn't leash up their dog when they've invited a girl over? That idiotic dog legit bit into my mum's bag. In capitals. Oh God, it's like ripped. So much drama, so much melodrama. Such a diva. Oh my God, I'm so proud of myself. I should stop tooting my own horn, you know. Anyway, continuing. I want to punch that dog's face. Carp has the audacity to go, "Oh, it's just a bag. I'll buy you a new one." I mean, first, it's a flipping Dolce & Gabbana. Second, it helped my mum make children. And you ruined your chance, Carp. Third, I'm gonna go. I can't be with you forever, I said when he said those idiotic things. Okay, cool. He said that. How can he? I really don't care what he said after that. My mother will have my skin for this. Oh, Lord. Deep breaths, Koi. Deep breaths. In parentheses, I love this line. It's supposed to be deep throat today, but okay, deep breaths, it's good enough. I know how this girl feels and I sympathize with you. Okay. I hope my parents don't listen to this. They won't. I've not really told them how to listen to podcasts yet. You.
Okay.
So continuing. I take out my phone and opening the bag is heartbreaking. I don't want its flaps to fall down. Why don't they make freaking pockets in clothing properly? Who did we kill to deserve a pocketless life? Pocketless life. So many women have whined about having a pocketless life and like small pockets, but I buy my clothing from the kids store, kids section, and usually my shorts, all right? And the pockets are inexistent. Even my phone does not even properly fit in them. And it's like sad. Everybody deserves pockets. The children, the 16-year-old who can fit into 14-year-old clothing, women, everybody, people make pockets because pockets are good. And I feel hungry. Since I cannot grab a Snickers though, it's sad. Back to the story. I love how useful Google has been this past year. School, Google. Friends, Google. Solving an existential crisis, Google. Making sure your mother does not kill you, Google. I typed in leather workshop. I really doubt they would even exist in this damp town, but oh wow, I got a hit. It's like 1600 meters away. Go Google. I was just about to do the Miley Cyrus dance. Like, I won this crap. Is that a song? I do not know. But then the Google woman asks me to keep on walking straight. I love the Google woman. She's like such good company when I do not know how to drive. And I'm like walking straight and she's asking me to walk straight again. Then yeah, sure. She keeps on asking me to walking straight. I can't, it's in the story now. A couple rides a lift and them groans as to why I do not have enough stamina to walk 12 steps. Oh, mom, save me from yourself. The shop on its own is kind of pleasant. The vibe and gives the vibe of a shop where people rip the skins of animal and make cute things and animals and make cute things. This is the cue for what's about to happen in story, people, in the story. So if you think this is gonna be too much, you should listen to it because you need to get better nerves, but don't if it's too much. Okay. It was all in the shade of browns. When I opened the glass door with a lot of translucent plastic sticker words, which made little sense to me, the little brass bell rang very meekly. Okay, so for the ones who've seen like Riverdale or Greendale, Sabrina, the Witchy Adventures of Sabrina and stuff, you know how those towns have this weird ass vibe? That's the kind of vibe this town has, just like give you a visual very late into the story. So she opens up the door. The brass bell, which rang very meekly. The shop in itself was larger than it looked from the front. Like the billing desk thingy was right in front of the door, but it was on like a corner of an L of sorts. And there were mostly books there. They were all large. They had beautiful, I kid you not, super beautiful little flowers and stuff engraved on it. And it was all in leather. It almost made me want to pick up one of them and read. Oh my god, what a sin to read books, guys. I was about to take out one which felt very mystic. It was kind of a purple black. There were golden flowers running around and over its spine. Oof. My finger had just touched it as I heard a sweet voice tutting at me. Hey miss, don't touch anything like that. Everything will fall on you. I was glad that I was called miss and not woman. I turned around to see this guy, a bare-bellied, strong arms, little hair everywhere. Ooh, that rhymed. Little hair everywhere. Many freckles and a worn-out whitish tank top. He looked at me and said, "You look like a dead kitten." Oh, let me mimic the man voice. "Hey, you look like a dead kitten. You want some water?" As he brushed his greasy hips, greasy hands on his hands, what he was doing that made his hips greasy. Natty. I just nodded. He didn't really look at me. He was just filling up the water in a white turned yellowish mug. "What you're here for?" he said. "So, like this dog bit into my bag and I was wondering if you can fix it. Like cover it up or stitch it. Like, the way it does not feel visible anymore." I said as I was taking the lukewarm cup that he had offered. I bent down a little bit and mouthed thank you as I finished speaking the rest of my sentence. "Show me what you got," he says, as he extended his dirty hands towards me. His hands were kind of precious, you know. They were small, they were squishy, delicate, and calloused at the same time. You know, I have some, like, I feel that my hands are very small, that my fingers are very small, personally. But my mother thinks that they're not and they're very long and, like, I can wear as many rings as I want to. And I do wear as many rings as I want to, that is one. But I want to wear a lot more and I feel that my fingers aren't really worthy of too many rings. Yeah, stop. Go back to the story. I think I'm getting dyslexic, I cannot. Okay, yeah, his hands. I sat in front of the counter as he was examining the bag. He took out a couple sharp tools from the drawer under the table. I had started to feel quieter, calmer, cleaner. I knew this man in front of me would fix everything And this, obviously, if he has been given a proper chance, he can solve the world, you know. Okay, so I have never really felt that about anything or anyone. Like, I sometimes look at my dog and I'm like, all right, this thing is gonna ruin and eat everything. But that's about it. Nobody fixes everything in the world, in my eyes. But she saw it. And though while working on the bag, he kept on looking at me from the side of his eyes. He thinks he was being discreet, but I'm used to guys trying to look at me all the time. Who can blame them? I love how the main character is so much like me because it's written by me, and I am that dumb and narcissistic. It's infused with a little licorice. I cannot really pronounce this word. It's like a root, it's like a herb, which is tend to be like a little bit of anesthesiac. So he says, it's infused with a little licorice and mugwort extracts. You can go to the back and lie down as I fix this. It would be easy. I have leather and similar texture. I will rebuff the whole thing with the same tint and it would be as good as new. It's so difficult to speak like a man. He pointed at the bean bag, which sat at the very end of his shop. It was surrounded by books, so I thought, what's the harm in taking a quick nap? I stood up to go there. He also stood up but went behind the counter into a kind of a door. Maybe he wanted to go find some leather from the workshop, who fucking cares? The bean bag was of the same color as the book I was intrigued by. I let myself sink into it. I've worn these in my house too. I closed my eyes. I knew. I just took two deep breaths in and out. In and out. And I felt something tickling my belly button. But I was too relaxed to open my eyes. Yeah, something fucking tickles my belly button in the middle of the night. And no matter how relaxed I am, no matter how tired I am, I'm gonna scream at the loudest pitch. But she did not, because she was too relaxed. What? I think it's the breeze. Now, my cat is like making weird noises. He's like, he suddenly starts to purr. And then he stops. Then my dog suddenly decides to walk in front of my room's door, like tap, 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 tap. I'm not sure if it would be visible, if it would be audible for you guys, but if it would be, so heads up. Okay. Yeah. So I think it's the breeze. Now that sensation suddenly went up till my collarbones, and fuck, it's a spider. What the fuck? What if I die because of a spider and not my mother? Oh Lord. I try to open my eyes, but as if my body doesn't want me to open them. It was as if my body did not want me to open them. They resisted, and I commanded my brain to do exactly what I asked it to. As I did, I felt my bare body and saw my bare body on a metal table. The guy in the white vest has removed his vest now. He was sweaty. His nipples were a shade darker than my lip tint. The scalpel he had in his shop was now in his hand and had a little bit of blood on it. I could understand what was happening, but my consciousness didn't have any strong objections to it. He saw my eyes opening and said, oh, the damage to the bag is a lot. I didn't have enough leather. I hope you don't mind extracting some of it from you. A little for the bag, rest for the books. He said as he placed his hand on my eyelids, forcing them to stop seeing. The spider went down my legs, behind my ears, across my butt. It tickled a little. I'm glad. At least the bag will be saved. Yeah, okay. So that's the end of the story. I am pretty sure you did not see that coming. So this story is different. So like the ones that I did, I believe the ones that I did in the episode 8 and 9th, no, 8th and 7th, were very similar to what happened in real life. And in this story, I wanted to like test out my creativity of sorts and how far I can go from reality, make it sound nice, make it sound very quirky, but still make you guys feel bad in the end, because that's what I do. Yeah. So, okay. So the story behind this is kind of very weird. It happens in Poland, and it kind of sort of, but not quite totally, begins on the 6th of January, 1999. But since it's kind of, sort of, but not totally begins on the 6th, I'm going to take you back and make it more apparent for you, so that there's no like eeks or like points to connect. So also the case was called the Leather Case, according to Google Translate. Like, I translated a lot of Polish articles to research about it, because there were a lot of English articles. There were some English podcast, but then I heard a German podcast, I believe, and some other things. So it's like a mix mumble jumble of a lot of things, and I really have no idea where all my sources are. So there's that. According to Google Translate, it's called the Leather Case. According to the English reports I read in one podcast, it is called the Skin Case. So yeah, you know what's coming your way now. Like, books, leather, skin, the girl got skin. You never heard that. Alright, so there's a girl called Katarzyna Zowada. Katarzyna Zowada. And I hated how half of the pronunciations for her name was Katarzyna. Nobody says Katarzyna anywhere. It's Katarzyna. Speak it properly. And then they are like, oh, we do not want to disrespect the victim or anything, but you're disrespecting her name. At least look up the language from which the names are like a derivative of, and try to mimic the accent. If you cannot do it properly, you are just disrespecting things. I don't know. So basically, Katarzyna didn't show up for her doctor's appointment on 12th November 1998. I mean, she was a nice girl, but people described her as sad and withdrawn. More that, like, it's fair to note that she was diagnosed with depression, and her mother was also a child psychiatrist. So I guess she diagnosed her, and after her father's death in 1966, so both of them went on a hiking trip. He slipped. This caused a spinal injury, which ended up killing him. So, I mean, I really do not blame her to get into depression after this kind of mess happens in her life. But like later on 12th November, since she was like a very punctual girl, she used to live with her mother. And she was 23, her mother decided to file a missing persons report, but the police advised against it, as like there was a very high chance that she would turn up. Like, she's 23, she must have just gotten high somewhere, no? Oh, moreover, like, it's like the fun thing to note is that she was born on the 1st of June. If she would have lived, she would have been approximately my mother's age. It was 1996 that she was born, and my mother's 1994, I think. 1976 that she was born, and my mother's like 1974, I think. But like, they would have been a very similar age, so that was fun. So 1st of June, she was a Gemini. She lived in a very historically significant city. It is one of the world's only two socialist utopia, and it's called Krakow. It's in Poland, I believe. Obviously, it's in Poland. It's a Polish case. Skoye, what's wrong with you? She's an only child. She originally went to study psychology, but then shifted to religious studies. She was basically what one could call a hippie. She used to listen to a lot of music. She used to visit places with music records and stuff, like the 90s kids. She was a kind of a typical 90s kids. The crowd that she did not hang out with but was in the periphery of were into death, the dark arts, the devil, the cults, sacrifices and such. Though there's no proof that Katarzyna herself was a part of any cult, but one could say that she was rather interested in science fiction and those things. So I don't know, like, take your wild guess. Then it was like in later investigations, it was also noted that it was about 3 weeks before her disappearances, that she basically stopped attending her classes. And yet again, she was a very punctual child. She used to leave her house at the same time. She used to come back at the same time. So nobody really thought that at her place that she was skipping school, but she was. She even started on a weight loss plan, like underlying this weight loss plan, because this would be so significant soon. And she even dyed her hair from black to blonde. I mean, all of this really did not add up to the urgency for the police. Like, they were, and because they were like, all right, she'll turn up or she just die. Like, it's kind of dark, but that's what they basically thought. And moreover, at the very same time in the city of Kharkov where she went missing, there was some hot trending world affair happening, like a fan threw a knife or something on somebody famous. And according to the police, it was obviously more important than a girl who wore a hooded corduroy jacket, black jeans and red shoes when she went missing. Thus, like the mother, she decided to hire a private investigator. Though that also really did not bear any fruit, but it did make people assume that she just killed herself. She was repressed and everything. So they were essentially looking for a dead body now. Moreover, like the police even said, and I quote, "She disappeared during the depressing autumn, so she died." I mean, yeah, that's how simple things work. No, if you disappear during autumn, you die. Fun. So now finally back to the sub-zero weather, sub-zero temperature, sub-zero climate of Poland on the 9th January 1999. How many months is that? I believe 2. Yeah, so it's been 2 months now. And like the captain of this tugboat found something caught in the propeller of his boat. He found this like the night before, but he procrastinated and he was like, I'll deal with this later. And in the early morning, he just expected some random garbage to be caught in the propeller. But when he took it out, it felt like something which was made out of leather. It smelled foul. And when he held it properly, he realized that there was a human ear attached to it. Now, some of the documents that I read actually said that he found the skin suit floating in the river and then saw the ear attached to it and then called the police. So basically when they properly examined it, it was diagonally cut over the breast. The ear was attached to it as usual, as like given. There were no arms, there were no legs. They were just like and they were like cuts, and it cuts all around it, and they were like sewn together very neatly, and it felt like it was made to be worn by somebody. And it also had a little bit of pubes on it too. So they found it and they were like, the police went like, what the fuck? So since they have never seen anything like that in Poland, they called in people from the FBI and profilers from all over Europe and like specialists and stuff. And DNA in a couple of days confirmed that the skin belonged to Katarzyna. And it's also fair to note that in this bodysuit, the skin was removed And it was, as I said before, carefully cut and stitched together. And yeah, like it was, even when like they started to properly analyze the corpse and like analyze the body, they saw like some skin marks on it and some, like, she was beaten very severely. There were signs of torture. It was also like they also found her leg floating in the river when they went to dive into it. And they found that there were four very, very deep protrusions inside her skin and inside her body, one each, and like one of like four, one under each armpit and one in like the inner thighs. Like, I have already a thing for like thighs. I read the word thigh and like goosebumps happens on my inner thighs, and I'm getting like goosebumps on my inner thighs now. Thank you. It was like even suggested that these wounds that were made, they were basically with the idea of draining her blood out properly so the leather can be extracted properly. And some of the reports, though this is not comprehensive or conclusive, that she was skinned when she was alive. So it was a long, slow torture. She was beaten, she was tortured, she got poked holes into, and she got skinned alive. Now, when you like read all of these documents, they say a lot of transphobic things, and I'm saying this like clearly before, because they concluded that the perpetrator was a man, and I quote, with impaired sexual tendencies and wanted to be a woman. I mean, yes, stepping into someone's skin does not really make you them, but I don't know. So just like to be there, that this is, some of these are not my words. These are the words from the research that I read. So they started to speculate what could be the possible inspirations for it. So what? The tap in my kitchen just like turned on itself. Wow. And it's 3:33. Oh my God. Fuck. I'm getting goosebumps. Fuck off. I'm not going to check it out. Whew. Where was I? So the police was thinking of, and the water's no longer flowing now. So the police wanted to know what could be the possible inspirations behind it. The most obvious one was that of the American grave robber Ed Gein, who would come in one of the like latest episode, hopefully, or the movie which was inspired by him, which came out 7 years prior to Katarzyna's death. And it's also fair to note that in the movie the victim was called Kate, and it's like the equivalent or the shorter American form of the name, the beautiful, amazing name, Katarzyna. And even the anatomy of the skin suit was also very similar. The second thing was that there was an article published on Saint Bartholomew, a saint who was skinned and beheaded alive. And like basically the wonders that humans do in the name of religions. Google his pictures and you'd want to barf, and I'm not kidding, you will want to barf. They are very weird. Michelangelo painted him with a lot of detail. So these were the basic three perhaps motivations, which all of them are which are wrong, I'm telling you, like were inconclusive. So they also have they had a lot of suspects, but three of them were main and the rest of them were like random love interests, some like douchebags who used to hit on women left and right and stuff. The first was a dude who was out on a parole, I quote the word parole in like quotation, like a kind of parole from a mental institution, because his physical health was getting deteriorated there. So what happened to him was that in 1983, he was a perfectly normal citizen. And then he decided to murder his wife and teenage son, because why not? And then he disposed of their bodies by tossing them into the Vistula River that flows in the Kharkov, where Katarzyna's body was also found piece by piece. He was arrested before he properly disposed them off, but he was committed to a mental institution indefinitely. And so basically, as I said, he was very meek in health, and that was the reason why the police decided that he could not have killed her, because they also found that she was severely tortured, she was subjected to a special kind of martial arts, and the person who would have inflicted that would have been a very healthy, strong person. I'm going to go close the tap now. So yeah, it was not a faucet. It was actually the water purifier. And it has that switch thingy, faucety thingy. Somebody needs to physically flip it in order to turn it on. But there was nobody who could have done that. So the podcast is haunted yet again. Where is the tab? Wait. Okay. So about the three main suspects, and the first one, I talked about the first one. The second thing, the reason the second guy became a suspect, there are a lot of reasons, but the major reason was that the crime in its own, the nature, the amount of violence that there was inflicted, it was very, very dark and kind of carnal and kind of a desired, kind of sexual to an extent. So the police and all psychologists and stuff expected the criminal to strike again. And they expected something like this to happen again, and they were right. The second suspect came to surface in the May of 1999, when a man called to report a possible dead body in his basement and saying that his grandson may be the perp. What a snitch of a grandfather. I mean, note to self, do not kill anybody and tell your grandpa, because he'll call the police, because that's what grandpa do, the snitch. So basically, when the police reached the place, they found a corpse hanging from the ceiling of the basement. It was upside down. The victim was 50-year-old Vitlish, who had been beheaded, and skin of his head and face were found at the scene. It was sewn together to make a mask, and it was smelly, and it did not smell. I mean, who would even expect dead bodies smelling like roses? But it, all leather is smelly, especially when it's extracted from humans and not treated properly. Not that you should treat leather properly. Do not extract anything from humans, please. So, moreover, the head of the of Vitlish was found outside the house, and the murderer was his son, Vladimir. Upon interrogation, it was revealed that he wore his father's face in clothes for a whole day and pretended to be him in front of his grandfather, who did not see very well. The motive behind this was emotional. It was the hatred that he felt towards his father because he was an ass to his mother and basically ruined their life because of affairs and such. Also, Vladimir and Katarzyna studied psychology in the same university. Though they were not in the same class, Vladimir was an year senior and he dropped out when she... Basically, there was no real connection between them but that, and that he also skinned and killed his father. He did not confess to killing her, and he's currently spending a 25-year-old sentence in a Russian jail. So he'll be out by, 2025 or 2026. Okay. And the last guy was kind of caught because of a clairvoyant who pointed out some little details which were ignored initially. And now this third suspect is the main suspect of the story. And he is in trial. He was in trial as of 2019 and is known as Winging Robert J., who was arrested on 4th of October 2017. Almost 20 years, to be precise, I believe 17 years after the murder. And they say that, like, he is a person who had a very stocky body. He was well-trained in martial arts. He was almost a similar height to Katarzyna. He worked at the Kharkov Institute of Zoology and used to study animal skins. Though he was fired because he killed all the rabbits there. Before working at the department, he worked at the morgue in the military and he assisted dissections there. And moreover, like, it's also fair to note that he had a very rough childhood. He was abandoned by his parents. His father was a writer. His mother was a cold person who did not really care about him. And they also abandoned him, and he was raised by his grandparents, where he was physically abused like his father. So these are like a sad childhood, an obsession with killing animals. It kind of like hints a lot at signs of psychopathy and like, I don't know. Yeah, those there's like psychopaths and sociopaths. I do not know what's the difference between them. I've seen a lot of reels on Instagram, but I could not really pay attention to them. So he's one of those two things. They also found that he used to visit Katarzyna's grave very, very often, like almost every day. He even used to go to church every day, which is very weird in all senses. Moreover, he used to go to Katarzyna's grave almost every day after the evening and used to leave a candle burning on her grave. They said that he also wrote letters and he buried them around, though the said letters were never found. And moreover, he lived near the riverbank and where Katarzyna was found. And popularly, he was this asshole who wanted to discipline women and he used to ask them to wear French underwear. Also, he liked slim women. He liked women who had blonde hair, just to like some dots to connect for you guys. Though Robert, he denied knowing Katarzyna, but when they found his diary, it mentioned him talking about the women's that he has stalked and Katarzyna's death. Some even speculate that he made sure Katarzyna to start losing her weight such that the loose skin would function well for him to wear the clothing. Okay. I like to wear it properly. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps again. I mean, yeah. So there's proof which says that he killed her on the outskirts of the town in a little cottage where it was supposed to be a small kitchen garden during the weekday because nobody's usually there because it's like a weekend retreat thing. So yeah, but I really don't feel like speaking any more about it. So, Robert J. was charged with aggravated murder with particular cruelty. The court of appeal also extended his detention till September 2018, when all the investigation was happening and the evidence was getting gathered. Though in December 2018, he complained that the prison guards were harassing him and the claims were investigated, obviously, because Poland is a good country. And they were found to be groundless because he's an idiot and an asshole who killed this woman and did what not all to her. He also did not sexually assault her, according to profilers and like forensic people. They say that his way of doing, like the violence that he did with Katarzyna was kind of sexual to him, and that functioned as sexually assaulting her in his brain. There's a specific word for it which I'm forgetting and I've not written in the notes. So yeah. So like onto the charges, now there's two new charges, which are like lying to the police and falsely accusing prison guards to the charges that he has. And according to the article that I read, which was written in September 2019, he still remains in custody while the evidence is happening. I could not find if he's convicted, if he's not convicted, how long will he be convicted for? Nothing, nada. So yeah, that is today's story. That is the Poland's skin case. And this is the podcast called In the Memory of the Goldfish, where I talk to you about amazing things, terrifying things. It is hosted by Koi On Air. It is co-produced with Made by Netflix. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Koi On Air, as @KoiOnAir. I do not know how to say. Oh my god, I've been doing this like ending part for how long now, and I still keep on messing it up. The music is by Lil Addy, who is an amazing person, if I've not said that enough already. And what else? Yeah, my mail address is koi@madebynefix.com. You mail me there, you talk to me, you mail me your true life incidents, and you can be featured in the validation episode, because we all need validation. It would be on 29th of March. So, or 28th of March, I keep on messing that shit up too. So yeah, that's the podcast. That's today's thing. And I really don't think I'll ever be able to wear leather again. So, bye.